The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 566. Happy New Year, we are back. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, live from Las Vegas. And tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going? How was your holiday?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, what's going on?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up?
All right, guys, we are back for another year of Throwdown. And due to circumstances, I'm able to host, which is a good thing. I wasn't able to do that for the last 2 years because I would always be either traveling or dead from traveling. But I'm still in Vegas. So full disclosure, I was going to have dinner with Torrance, but that kind of fell through. So I was like, all right, doing a show, doing it live, you know?
Doing it live.
Glad. Hopefully everybody had a good break during the holidays and stuff. We're back, man. By the way, random stuff. You guys not know that company, 8BitDo, that Adam loves?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to go visit them today, and they gave me swag. They gave me this little robot guy.
Oh, excuse me?
The funny thing is,
he's got a D-pad.
The buttons, you could press them, and they're like membrane buttons, you know? Pretty fun stuff. You see it?
Yep.
Yo, man, did they call you by...
We got the emails.
Yeah, right? They got the emails, you know? All right, man. So yeah, shout out to the Discord crew, as always. I got most of these stories, if not all these stories, from there. So let's get into it. First up, this is the news that Richard is most excited about. So excited he couldn't be on the show tonight.
Oh.
The Xbox Developer Direct is returning January 22nd, and they are telling us what games are going to be showcasing. Very interesting here. So Fable, Forza Horizon 6, and Beast of Reincarnation gameplay direct from the studios. So, Carlos, I guess Fable is not dead.
So, they're bringing this up. I thought this was canceled. What happened? Their studio going overturned? I forgot. One of them.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess it's coming. And still, I don't know who's looking forward to this game, to be honest.
I'm not.
And it doesn't really have that big of a fan base to begin with. And it's a nostalgia play. And I don't know, man. Good luck to them. Those previews weren't even that good. Those initial trailers.
Oh yeah, basura.
Yeah, man. So I'm curious. Yeah. I'm curious to see what they show. Hopefully it's something better. Yo, man, I'll say this, and you know, this is a whataboutism, but man, what is Sony doing?
Nothing.
You know, Microsoft looks like they're going up in flames, but they're still doing this direct stuff.
Yeah, but the thing is, like this direct, you know, they do it every single year. So nothing new there, but no, I agree. We'll see what happens with Sony. By the way, I left this off the show notes because it's still a rumor, and Nadella already shot it down. But the rumor is that Xbox was or Microsoft was going to lay off more employees, including Xbox employees. Like, it's that time of year again. You know, January time to lay motherfuckers off.
Yeah, right, but before Nadella the fiscal shot year. That down.
Yeah, but no, here's the thing. You know, you said that there's not a fan base for Fable. I agree. But the thing is, there used to be, you know, there used to be. Now this shit is just, again, no one cares. It's just taking forever. Yes, Playground Games, I don't know if they were affected by any of the layoffs. But yeah, we got that. We got Forza Horizon 6, the Japanese one. So we have heard about this one before, haven't we?
I think
so. Anybody want to chime in, motherfuckers?
Yeah, and I don't know. Well, Playground Games, I don't think they were impacted. It was turned... Was the Forza people that were impacted? The Forza Motorsport people.
Yeah, Motorsport. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I guess
I was asking was Forza Horizon 6 already announced? I feel like it was.
I think so. I don't remember.
Yeah, because it says it's set in Japan. I'm like, that sounds familiar.
Oh yeah. I remember that now. Yeah, it's in Japan. I mean, we're talking. I think we made a joke about how Ubisoft did Assassin's Creed in Japan, and you know it, that luster died down now that you know people are going to Japan. Forza Horizon 6 did that right after.
That is pretty funny. So I'm wondering if it's going to be, you know, Tokyo Drift inspired. By the way, I don't care what anybody said. I like that movie. It had drifting in it, you know?
It yeah, reminded me of had drifting and Bow Wow.
Yeah, that's right, you know? So yeah, we got that. And then Beast of Reincarnation. I'm pretty sure we must have covered this, but it left no impression on me. Game Freak, isn't that the Pokemon company?
That's the yeah, Pokemon we did, company. We did talk about this. This was shown before. It's funny because it doesn't look like any of their games. It's like a samurai. I think it was like a samurai type of game. I can't remember what it was, but we did talk about this before.
Yeah,
I guess this is. I'm guessing they're talking about a release date or whatever. I don't know.
What the fuck? Yeah, I'm gonna read this description. This is from Xbox. Join us as we delve into Game Freak's intense one person. One dog action RPG. For the first time, Game Freak will reveal details of our protagonist Emma's innovative plant manipulation actions and gameplay with her canine companion Ku in Beast of Reincarnation. Okay, so there's a dog in it then.
Yeah.
And she has plant powers. And it's set in Japan. Post-apocalyptic Japan.
Yep.
Okay.
Doesn't look anything like a Pokemon game, as I remember.
There you go.
But is it Souls-like though?
You know,
didn't they show a little bit of gameplay with that thing? It's very vaguely remembering something, some sort of.
That's because you're a bunch of ponies. Gameplay. You don't care about Xbox games.
I mean, what are you talking about? Those are all fucking PlayStation games. So they are. Matter.
Yeah, this one, if I remember correctly, it's coming on a Game Pass as well. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I'll wait till you see
it. It did look like it was a Souls-like game, if I recall. Like, there was like this huge-ass enemy on a field, and you're slashing it down, kind of like, you know, Wukong style too. It's one of those types of games. They're kind of hit and miss for me. I mean, sometimes they do a good job at it, but I mean, they're never, most and all, never, you know, get at the level as from software games.
Yeah, like Neo is probably the closest. But mm-hmm. yeah, not for me. I'm like, if it's not the genuine article from software, I'm good. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. What's it's
what's up? Yeah. So yeah. By the way, the trailer was in June, bro. Fuck.
Damn. Yeah. It got announced, I think, before Summer Games Fest, if I remember correctly. It was a showcase that they had, Xbox had before that.
Did we live stream that?
No, I don't think we even live streamed Summer Games Fest, if I recall correctly. Damn.
We said, fuck it.
We said, the only one show a year for Keeley.
That's it, man. Yeah, because I was wondering if it was just like one of those sizzle reel games that we forgot about. But yeah. So yeah, let me see. So the direct is going to air January 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern. So on a Thursday. So we'll get to talk about it that day. Cool. But again, you know what's going to happen, even though Xbox is very clear about the games they're going to talk about. People are going to be mad. Where's the Gears? Where's this? Where's that? They didn't announce this. Bitches, this happens every year. They tell you the games.
Where's Emergence Day?
Yeah, Emergence Day. Where is it? You know? Actually, you know somebody said, yo, man, what about Fable? What's Fable? They did talk about Fable. You weren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, where's Perfect Dark?
Well, that's been canceled.
You know people still expect that. It's like the when it's not to this extent, but you know, with Bloodborne, whenever there's a Sony conference and Bloodborne's not announced, people always lose their minds.
Yeah, right. You already got Bloodborne though.
I mean, you got Bloodborne this?
Oh man! All right, so yeah, there you go, Brian. What do you think, man? You excited?
Not really, because again, the trailer wasn't all that exciting and there were controversy. But I am looking to see what Richard adds to it. Not our Richard, but the actor with the glasses. He has a really, really smooth voice. So, and I really want to see if the comedy's actually good, because I feel like we don't have enough good comedy games. The last one I can remember is Helldivers. I don't remember like any other like comedy-esque games. Games are way too serious these days.
Yeah, and what do you think about the Forza Horizon game?
Forza in Japan. I think that's a good recipe for a good racing game. I I can't remember if there's been any other racing series set in Japan, like primarily, because I'm aware that stuff like Gran Turismo will have Japanese-based tracks, but not the whole thing there. Like, Need for Speed has always, well, has never been outside of America, I don't think.
Wait, wasn't there a series called Tokyo Extreme Racer, or am I making that up?
I don't remember.
It sounds familiar, so it's possible, but I don't remember it.
Yeah, here we go. Yeah, it's called Tokyo Extreme Racer. When the hell did this game come out? It's an arcade-type game. I guess that's set in Tokyo, right?
Arcade or Dreamcast. So, yeah, before my time. But even then, that's how bad it is. So, yes, hopefully they sort themselves out. And I think this could be good. Again, Forza games, Forza Horizon games, always a good, fun time.
Yeah. And, yeah, no one here cares about Fable. I just think about that protagonist they showed in the trailer. I just think Austin Powers, it's a man, baby!
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Microsoft is just, you know, excited about this game, or they just want to release it because they've already invested a lot of money in it.
Yeah, right. And maybe it's going to be their Concord.
It could be. Yeah, speaking of games that are hilarious, Brian, Concord is hilarious in its own way.
It's a funny game.
It is indeed, you know, and I can't wait till the question show. I'm sure that someone will have some really funny questions.
Uh-oh. That sounds like a promise. All right, so yeah, there you go. January 22nd, airing on a Thursday, so we will absolutely be talking about it. All right, and the next story we have, you know, another Xbox story. Now, this one's a rumor, so take it how you will. But we've been talking about this for a while, so this is more of a, you know, another chapter in this story. So I'm going to read this from Insider Gaming, but it's not from Tom, you know, Harry and the Hendersons. It's from another reporter here. Anyway, a report about the next Xbox has surfaced online. Where else is it going to surface, bro? That's a stupid line. It's surface. Where's it going to surface? In your fucking house?
Oh, like under? It's going to rise out of the water like Godzilla. Surface.
Yeah. But, oh, that's what I want to say before we get to the story. Brian, for Forza Horizon 6, we need Godzilla DLC, man.
It has to happen. Come on. Make the deal.
That would be fucking epic, man. You're racing around. Godzilla's trying to kill you, you know? And Manny, maybe they'll have the American Godzilla trying to chase you and he can't catch you because he can't catch a taxi. Let alone a car.
Oh, well, you mean the first American Godzilla? Well, they forgot about that one. And now it's all about the fat Godzilla from the legendary pictures.
He lost some weight, though, you know?
he's got pink fire now. He's got pink, whatever the hell energy he's made of now.
That's silly. But yeah, I was like, wait, so that first iguana Godzilla, he could catch jets, no problem. Can't catch a taxi.
Listen, the taxi was driven by Jean Renault, the professional. Yes. So he can't catch that taxi because it's purely because of him.
Funny. Anyway, yeah, this is how excited we are about Xbox. We start talking about Godzilla. Anyway, a report about the next Xbox surfaced, and it seems that it will heavily lean to the Windows experience. We were informed late last year that Windows 11 would receive a full screen support for the Xbox app, which it did with the handheld. It seems that Microsoft will be leveraging the same technology for its next Xbox console. I knew it. Before reading this fucking story, I knew that was what they're going to do. So it, even though I guess it is full-bore Windows, it's like you could switch it to this leaner version. Anyway, let me keep reading. So the original report, why don't I click on the original report?
They don't mind.
Oh, it's because it's a big, okay, never mind. Because Windows Central did like a roundup of what they think is going to happen. That was just one of the stories. Okay, anyway, a new report by Windows Central provides a lot of details on what to expect from Xbox in 2026, i.e. what Jess Corden predicts is going to happen. Now, what will happen? The report shows that the plan to run, quote, full-bore Windows, unquote, on the next Xbox console has remained the same. Thanks to the partnership with AMD, this console's interface will be delivered through the, quote, full-screen experience in the Xbox PC app, and Microsoft is hard at work to make the app capable of executing it. That's the same app from the Xbox ROG Ally, which is good. Mm-hmm. The report says that the main difference between the next Xbox console and a traditional PC is the ability to run Xbox One and Series X games, allowing players to bring forward their existing libraries to the next-gen console. Okay, what about regular Xbox? Your 360?
That's what the remastering engine's for.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. What is the Xbox version of the remastering engine? Hip Hop Gamer ain't talking about that. You know? Man.
Well, I mean, isn't it the one? Isn't that the thing, the conjiggering they did that essentially run like old games at 60, tricking old games to running at 60 FPS and stuff like that?
Something like that.
And at a higher resolution?
Yeah. So, yeah, this report is just basically just, again, another chapter in this saga, as we're calling it now. Yeah, I think that's what makes the most sense. It will be a Windows machine, but it's going to have, the interface is going to be that streamlined version of Windows, which obviously they're going to refine over the years, because I do believe that, you know, consoles will be delayed, you know, because they're due to come out next year. I don't think that's happening.
That is not happening.
Interesting. No. So I didn't know that. I don't know that was your position.
That's the Venetian right there, son. Anyway, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, I didn't know that your stance has changed, or maybe it's always been like this about, you know, the consoles being delayed. I know you've dabbled on you know, speculating on the possibility of it. I don't know you were dead set on it. That's interesting.
Oh, well, I am now because of the RAM prices. Fuck. Mm-hmm.
Again,
I am not one of these dudes. I'm just going to stay on one opinion, even though there's new evidence. No, we have the RAM crisis. I don't think any manufacturer would be insane to release a console right now, you know, which is going to be interesting with Steam Machine, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing is messed up, man, because, you know, we saw the thing with Crucial and their RAM, their consumer RAM that they used to sell to people. It's non-existent anymore because they're giving it all to AI companies. It's just
fuck consumers. We're making more money off enterprise. You could kiss our ass.
Not only them. It's NVIDIA, and we, I don't know if this is part of the show notes, NVIDIA is cutting down on their graphics cards and doing an uptick on their 3060s, a two generations old graphics card, and their lowest tiered graphics card.
Yeah,
so
I don't have the show notes just because, you know, it's a little bit more techie, but yeah, isn't that some crazy shit? They're now remanufacturing their old GPU.
Mm-hmm. They're doing it because
which they said that they were going to discontinue this year. By the way,
well, I guess not.
It sucks, man. So,
Carlos, it's because of that my stance had to change. You know.
Yeah. No, and that's a good point. I mean, a lot of these companies are deprioritizing their consumers and gaming in particular, gaming consumers. And here's the thing. Well, PlayStation, they really have no choice because gaming is all they do, or at least the bulk of their money that they make. Yeah. Microsoft, I mean, if Nadella is like, hey, Phil, with your cute little new Xbox / PC thing that you're trying to release, we're trying to allocate these resources more into data centers. Like that's a realistic possibility. PlayStation, it's a little bit more difficult because they really only have one, you know, one big thing that they do that makes the most money for them, and that's PlayStation. So we'll see with them. I think for them it's going to be a lot tougher, but obviously the prices are going to be, you know, jacked up. So.
That's what I'm saying. Like even Sony, you're right. The only thing that you have, I mean, they have other things obviously, but you know, PlayStation's the thing that keeps the boat going, right? But they don't want to release a $900 PlayStation 6,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of these fucking mm-hmm. RAM prices. So I think everybody's going to hold back. And like we said, you know, I know we're slightly derailing here, but as we said, what are you going to be missing, right? Let's just say for the sake of argument, consoles come out on time in 2027. What are you going to be getting? Fucking remasters, fucking cross-gen games for 3 or 4 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're not missing shit. You get the latest console generation 2030. We ain't missing nothing, you know?
Yeah. The only thing we're missing is those high prices.
That's it, you know? It's crazy. So, yeah, you know, this report, interesting, but I'm like, yeah, we know, bro. We know. All the pieces are coming together now, especially with that streamlined version of Windows on the ROG Ally, you know?
Hey, man. Right, and I wonder... I wonder who predicted this. Like, you know, we've been talking about this since forever ago about, you know, oh, the ROG Ally has a new Windows cleaned up version. I wonder whether they might leverage that in the future. Oh, they're doing this partnership with AMD, and so they can get Ryzen and everything on the new Xbox. I wonder what they're going to do. I mean, their console relevancy is dwindling even more. So might as well just do a PC.
Yeah. Oh, we said it, by the way, to answer your question.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfuckers. Listen to Throwdown, man.
Yo, man, we confirmed this years ago.
Yeah, we did. All right, good stuff. Anything else you guys want to say about that?
Yeah.
All right, take that as a no. Move on here. A couple of GTA 6 news tidbits. Very interesting. So I believe it was earlier this week, rumor popped up that the game would be delayed again. Basically, Jason Schreier made a report, and then people based off that report were saying, oh, yeah, this shit's going to be delayed again because they were saying that, you know, developers were still struggling or whatever. And now Jason Schreier himself came out saying that people misread what he said. He says that he'll be surprised if it is delayed or something like that. So he shot it down, but who knows? So here's his quote. This is a complete misunderstanding of what I said, which is that I wouldn't be shocked if GTA 6 does come out this fall, following the same delay pattern as Red Dead Redemption 2. Of course, another delay is possible. It's a video game, but this blog post is very misleading. Just reach out to me. It's not that hard, motherfucker. Let me read that sentence again, because this sentence reads weird to me. I wouldn't be shocked if GTA 6 does come out this fall. So he wouldn't be shocked if it... Who?
Adam!
Hey!
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
You get everything, man.
I get everything. That's a fucking miracle I made it this far. I didn't think I was going to make it out at 25, man. Pneumonia.
Yeah, right? You're still in it.
For a month. I had Chris over here sending me messages every day with prayers and shit. This is bad. I still have a cough. I still have a fucking cough. I was on 2 antibiotics and an inhaler. You know, that's constantly crazy. I went to the urgent care twice. It was bad. This is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, man. I'm glad you're here, though, you know?
Yep.
And you look good, man.
Thank you. It's all the makeup. Got a little pretty.
So anyway, just to say, he wouldn't be shocked if GTA 6 does come out in the fall. What does that mean?
It's one of those ambiguous tweets / posts where, that doesn't really have anything concrete.
So he's saying he won't be surprised if it does come out. Why would he say that?
Well, here's the thing. He posted an article saying that that GTA 6 is not content complete yet in its development.
Okay, yeah.
And people were taking that where it says, it means it's going to get delayed. That's where people took it for the most part. And he responded and he's like, no. You're taking me out of context. And then that's why he said, I wouldn't be surprised if it does come out in the fall of 2026.
So he's saying it's not content complete, but they still might release it.
Right.
They just add shit later then.
Yeah. And here's the thing. The whole content complete thing is a little bit ambiguous because we don't know what that means. Could it be DLC? Could it be the main campaign? Could it be multiplayer?
I mean,
I don't know.
I feel like it may be the multiplayer.
I thought we all figured that they were just going to keep the GTA Online that's currently running online because it's making so much money. It's still printing money.
If they're going to do that.
I mean, I could see them take the Fortnite model and just keep revamping it, but it's still the same world. They just keep revamping it. I could see them doing something like that because Fortnite's doing it all the time. They just finished doing Simpsons.
But so wait, you think they're going to keep San Andreas, even though it's set in Vice City?
They'll have another part of the world. Maybe you log in and it's like, pick where you want to go in the online world. And you select it and poof, off you go to that part of the map.
Yeah, possible. But, we don't know at this point.
Yeah.
I have a question for Adam. The questions start early this week. Adam, isn't that kind of what Warzone does?
Warzone has different, you drop in and you pick where you want to go, but you're still, floating in. It's still in the map. I'm saying a menu system because it's so spread out that it wouldn't make much sense to have one location, like Miami and San Andreas. How are you going to do that? So it's more like a menu and you pick where you want to go, and then it'll dump you into that world. Because I just can't see them saying, all right, we're done. We're going to shut this down. There's just too much money to be made. Until that faucet runs dry, I don't see them turning off the tap. We'll have to see. But anything's possible.
Yeah. So that's the first bit of GTA news. And then the other one was, remember all those GTA leaks from a while ago? So Rockstar themselves confirmed Those were real. The people who leaked it were fired. Take that. Ain't that some shit? Yep. So that footage that you saw floating out there where people are like, hey, this looks kind of weird. That was actually real. But like we said at the time, guys, this is alpha footage. You know, you can't really judge it completely. Even though people were judging it completely. It looks like shit. It looks like a PS3 game. Yeah. You know?
That was years ago.
That was years ago. But yeah, Rockstar said, yeah, that shit was real. Those motherfuckers got fired.
Get that trash out of here.
You know?
Was it worth it?
Yeah, so was it worth it? Right, Adam? That's right.
Unless somebody paid for it, you know what I mean? So say, hey, get me something. All right, give me some bucks. And next, you know, yo, you're fired.
I'll give you some shark cards.
Exactly. Give you some shark cards.
Oh, my. Yo, I'll read this real quick. This is from Dexerto. By the way, I've been calling that shit Dextero for years.
That's what I do. Dextero. Yeah. That's a reach.
I thought it was Dextero. I'm like, wait, it's Dexerto? Okay. Rockstar Games has confirmed that an assortment of leaked GTA 6 info is accurate in a statement discussing why developers were fired from the studio. That's right. We did talk about that. In late 2025, Rockstar Games fired dozens of employees for, quote, gross misconduct, alleging that they had leaked details about unannounced projects and GTA 6. While some accused the studio of union busting, which they, you know, probably did too, leading to protests, Rockstar has reiterated as a zero tolerance policy for sharing confidential information. According to IGN, Rockstar noted that it fired a staff member in Lincoln, UK in April 2025 for allegedly sharing confidential GTA information with a third party who later posted it on social media. The company also confirmed it dismissed a U.S. employee in November 2023 and another in India in November 2025 over two separate information leaks. Based on this timeline, there were a couple of key leaks that occurred, although they weren't fully verified at the time. These comments by Rockstar add some major credibility to legitimacy. Interesting. Motherfuckers all over the world, bro.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, we're working on this.
I have some information for you.
But what if it's something like, oh, you're hanging out with a bunch of other people in the industry. I'm like, hey, what are you working on? I'm working on this. Oh, great. What part of it? Oh, well, I do this graphic. Oh, I'm making this building. And then they leak it, and it's like, shit, I just got fired. I thought we were all cool. You know,
I thought we were cool.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's like, you don't know the confidentiality of certain, like, why is this guy, you know, if you're working in the industry, why are you giving all this information to a person who you know probably will leak shit? Like, why would you legitimately shit sending footage to somebody and just that's like, you know, talking unless about it is
perfect. Let's say he sent that footage because maybe he deals with the animation side of something, and he said, hey, can you help me with this? Can you help me improve this? I was like, oh, yeah, send it over. No, gotcha.
If Chris were here, he could tell you how much of how draconian Rockstar Games was.
The tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
There was a point.
Chris because he's leaking stuff right now.
But like when he was, you know, back, let's go back to, you know, when Throwdown, the Throwdown show first started, we originally wanted to have Chris on the show, but he couldn't because he was working at Rockstar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, even when he,
or
he
Nintendo, was Nintendo, same thing. That's he what couldn't be it. It's like, even yeah, Nintendo, either one of those things he couldn't have done because it would just be considered a compromise.
Yeah. I remember calling one time, like, what's your favorite Nintendo game? And he hung up on me. He couldn't even answer the damn question on the phone. I was like, shit, you take it too far, man. I guess, you know.
It was good work, man.
Reggie's tapping his line. Reginator.
All right, so there's that. Unless you guys want to say anything else about GTA 6.
Let's get it over with already. I want to just see what happens when it comes out, because right now is not a good time for games itself with the pricing and all that stuff. And then if they come out there with that 100 or even more from the base, we already know there's going to be tiers. So every freaking game has tiers. But the base, if that base is $99.99, I'm going to just start thinking, oh, Neo Geo all over again. You know, thank you. People are going to wait, because if there's one thing that we've all learned, it doesn't matter what platform, except Nintendo, they got it kind of hard on there. Prices always go down. no one buys, they can drop that quick. We saw that with Guardians of the Galaxy. Awesome game. Remember? Like, whoop, like a month later, $35. So
yeah, Black Friday
I don't
deal.
Think that'll happen for here, but I could definitely see people holding out.
Yeah, so we'll see. All right, man. Move on here. Here's another roundup. And we're starting the year right with some Ubisoft L's. Let's Uh-oh. Go. So this happened during Christmas, I believe. Basically, Rainbow Six Siege was hacked a few times. And it led to like all kinds of like account information being leaked, you know, which is crazy. So I'll read this real quick from Kotaku. Just a week after Ubisoft finished picking up the pieces of a major Rainbow Six Siege hack that saw billions of dollars of in-game money handed out to players, the game is in chaos all over again. This time, as spotted by The Gamer, the alleged infiltrators are issuing illegitimate bans to players. Bans that last for 67 days. It's a stupid meme.
Did they recall that money back? Yeah, 6-7. You know, did they recall any of that back? I say it all the time. Because I would think that's something they can track. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I see where it went in all these accounts because it's, you know, it's like transferring money. You see where it goes. So you would think they would just pull it out.
We got the emails.
Freeze bank accounts and shit.
They freeze people's Siege accounts. They take Siege of their Siege account. And shout out to anybody who's still playing that damn game. I swear, man. I put in like, I don't know, a whole hour and that was enough for me. I was like, nope, I'm out. But look, we're like 25 years later and people are still playing.
They're still playing this fucking game.
They play this more than Halo. I hate these people. You know, it's like you're the reason why we got bad games. You're still living on this Siege. That wasn't the only selling point was that you could shoot through walls, right?
Wasn't that
the big selling point? It was like, oh, look, and you could look through the holes. So you could shoot a hole and then look through to see if you see anybody on the other side. I was always hoping that you would see another person die there. Oh, I got you. That would have been cool. But I thought you were going to tell me something horrible, like Black Flag Remaster got canceled or something.
No.
Did you hear the good news about that?
Go ahead.
They took out the Animus shit. At least that's what they're saying, that they changed something. And that they're taking the Animus stuff out. Good, take it out of all the damn games.
It was really stupid, so it's fine.
It was so dumb. They should have just said, you know what, this is just a history game. We're going through different times and stuff. Don't take it too serious. No, this whole unplugging and walking around and talking
to people. I mean, the Animus stuff, it was cool when Desmond was there.
They killed him. That's it.
Yeah, they killed him, so it's like, stop doing it.
That's it. Exactly. It's done. Why did you kill him? And the way they killed him, he wasn't even in-game. It was like off-camera type of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Black Flag, it was first person, right? Those segments.
Yeah, the anime stuff was first person.
Yeah, and you were like a video game developer or some shit.
You were a person going in to get your ancestry of the pirates out of your head. So that way they can make a game out of it. That's what and they pay you for it.
Yeah. So that's the first Ubisoft L. And then the other one is that they completely shuttered the freshly unionized Halifax Studios. So 71 people out on their ass. So it goes to show you, unions can't protect you, motherfuckers.
Well, I mean, it all unions only protect you unless there's more than one. Like if they're just the only union, no, it's not going to work. No. The only way unions work is if they have power. If they don't have any power, they can just be like, whatever. Run and tell
What's happening now? Remember the other company or something? Was it Tencent? Yeah, it's Tencent that bought like a big portion. Has that caused any problems? I haven't heard anything about that.
That's a good question. I haven't looked into it.
Right, because they bought it and they're like, oh, we're taking these type of games away. And then Ubisoft gets to keep like the Division and stuff like that. I just don't know what the other fools are doing with it. Then if you got it and you got money for days, we should be hearing some crazy news. I haven't heard anything. So
I haven't heard anything either. But, you know, I mean, stuff could have been happening and I wouldn't know. I'm still out here.
Where are you? I see you in a foreign land. Oh, you're in Vegas. There we go. Oh, look at that. Yeah, look at that. You did the CES?
Yeah, I'm at CES. Yeah, we're finished CES. Today's the last day. Well, Adam, you'll like this, man. You'll appreciate it. I went to 8-Bit Dude's booth. They gave me this little guy.
What don't they give you? Goddamn those people. They send you boxload. Look at that. Holy shit.
Yeah, you know, and it, like, the, those these are buttons. You can actually press them.
Oh, Oh, you know what? If you go down the block, there's like a FedEx place, and you could just, I'll give you my address. Just send it. You don't need this shit.
You want
also, most hotels have FedExes inside.
There you go.
Them,
so. There you go. Yes. And you know, I like all the little trinket shits. I got too much tchotchke shit. My whole room is
full of some other shit. They gave me little, this one I'm keeping for myself though, bitch. Little keychain.
Oh, that's cool. Did they announce anything new? I didn't see anything. I saw a keyboard. They're doing another.
Yeah, they announced a new Xbox controller. It has like you could. It's like wireless charging. It's really dope. It's like a pro controller. And then I got to check out their
haptics. The haptics, you know, the thick.
Yeah. Oh yes, it even has modules. You could like take out like the thumbs and even the buttons and stuff. Really all dope stuff, you know. Nice. Yeah, when we went over, it was me and my boy Anthony. When he saw that we were from Tom's Guide, the dude got real friendly. We actually met the guy like who actually engineers all this shit, you know. But anyway, we got off track. Okay. Anything else you guys want to say about Ubisoft L's, the layoffs and the hacks?
We'll see what you know. There was that the part of that hack was a bigger hack though, where they lost a bunch of information, like stuff from their old games and like source code, and it was a big one.
So, good. Somebody make Division 3 out of it, because these fools are taking way too long. I feel like I'm waiting. It's been like 7 years.
In fact, when that happened, I asked the age old question: can we talk about it?
Yeah.
You know, because when a certain giant hack happened to another specific studio. Okay.
Yeah, isn't that funny, right? Ubisoft had this huge hack. Private information got out. Everybody was talking about it. Isn't that interesting?
Was talking about it. Like, how is it? What made you know something very similar happened to CD Projekt Red too? Big old hack. A lot of people were talking about that too. So, what makes this? What this makes this any different?
Well, do you want to leave the question open or do you want to answer? Because we know the answer.
We know the answer. I'm just asking the open question.
And again, you fucking. People, you cannot come at us and go, oh, that's different because it was personal information. Personal information got leaked here too, and you fucking reported on it.
Yeah, personal information.
You just told on yourself why you didn't talk about the Spider-Man Insomniac leaks, you know?
Yeah, in fact, another fun thing about that specific leak, I noticed that quite a bit of people started talking about that multiplayer game that nobody was supposed to be talking about fairly recently. That thing was never announced.
Yeah.
So, it's okay now since it's what 3 years later, right?
That's what it is.
Good.
Yeah,
it's good now.
No, we saw pieces of that report coming out like after a few months. I'm like, wait, but that's part of that report you said we couldn't talk about. What happened? That whole thing was so fucking stupid.
For the people in the audience that still don't know why this happened, and obviously we talked about this since day one, since it happened. People getting on their high horse. Because they didn't want to bother the Sony stimulus package, I guess, where it's like they didn't want to. That's one of those publishers where they don't want to be in cahoots with. So they're trying to they're trying to be nice with them, be like, oh, we can't talk about leaks, but everything else, it's open season.
It's actually been like 2 years now because that happened when we were on break. That's the reason we didn't talk about it immediately. But the first time we came back that year, that was the first fucking story we talked about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? That was what game journalists were doing. Tech journalists didn't have that. I wrote an article about it. So did other websites. In my office, we had a conversation about that. It was me and the Tom's Hardware guys. We're like, yo, that's fucking stupid. It's news. You report it. You're a reporter, you know? I can't because shut up. Your high horse bullshit. I'm still mad about that. Anyway,
I'm not gonna get my my copy of Wolverine.
Yeah, right. Yeah, man. Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not gonna get invited to an event.
PlayStation does hold some grudges. So
they do.
That's all I'm saying about that.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right about that.
Even Apple. Remember Leo Laporte? You know him from G4 and all that stuff. He's still banned from any of the Apple events. They still won't put him on the list, and it's been decades. So
yeah, no. When you get on Apple's bad side, it's a wrap. You know. All right. Anyway, speaking about closures, GameStop is starting 2026 by closing hundreds of stores as the CEO gambles on $35 billion payday. So I'm reading that off of Polygon. So is Reedus. Because again, I'm catching up because I've been in fucking Vegas all weekend. Literally all these news stories I'm just seeing like today. Because the only news stories I know about is all that crazy shit happening in the world. I was like, wait, why is the world blowing up while I'm in fucking Vegas? You know, we got Iran, we got fucking Venezuela, Minnesota. Like, what the hell is happening?
You mean so New Venezuela. It's another state. That's it. It jumped over Puerto Rico. So
that's it.
There we go. They skipped it. But you know,
we'll take you instead.
Exactly. They offer oil. They got some shit to do. So I went to Florida.
We're not gonna get into the whole Venezuela thing.
No. But I went to Florida and I went to a GameStop and it was packed. Packed.
Really?
I mean, there was
really
people there. There was stuff there. I
went to Florida.
Yeah, for a week, and it was a whole big thing. But my brother wanted to buy an Xbox because he wanted to have it in the house. So that way we can log in. Log in through my account because I have all the games from the reviews and stuff. So
yeah,
it's just I get them on the Xbox, so we just get the S. So we got that and put it in the house. But the point is, it was a bunch of people. We were online for like 20 minutes. I was like, I've never seen a GameStop this packed in years. But hey, that was it. Like so
2006, 2007, all over again.
Yeah. So some stores, or maybe it's just a location. They're booming. People are going in there buying games and stuff. I felt like I was in a time warp. I was like, this can't be. The ones around me are always empty,
or if they even exist.
Yeah.
So let me read this real quick, because again, I'm just learning about this myself. In the first weekend of 2026, many surprised GameStop customers were notified that their local stores will be soon closing. But if GameStop is doing poorly right now, it's not evident from the headlines currently circulating about the gaming retailer. Instead, GameStop's company board proudly announced that it would be offering CEO Ryan Cohen up to $35 billion in performance-based stock options with one catch. The meme stock overlord needs to raise GameStop's market cap by billions of dollars and ensure that its earnings are similarly explosive. To the chagrin of some affected workers, news of their impending unemployment was dispersed with printout tape. Holy shit, let me read that. With dispersed with printout tape in front stores. Imagine that shit. You go to work and there's fucking tape on it. Bitch, it's closed.
It's like when in New York, when they get the stores, the restaurants get the A, B, and C rating. You know, it's like, like you got a big letter. You know, it's like you got a D. It's like you about to be unemployed, and it has a big date at the bottom. It's like shit.
Okay, so here's how. So basically, there was printouts taped to the store where customers could scan a QR code to get a coupon for 20% trading bonus because they want to get rid of the stock. You know. That same bonus also mentioned that in the emails sent directly to customers. I wonder if Adam got the email. According to social media posts,
a number of customers note that
nearby closures have left them with few options for purchasing games, with some having to drive anywhere from 30 minutes to over an hour to get to the next available GameStop. While many customers learned of the closures at the last moment, others took advantage of the situation by hitting up their local stores for goodies, like Adam would. Like store displays and posters. You can make like a band-aid with that shit, bro.
Yeah.
Like, let me get that stand of Lara Croft, motherfucker. You don't need it no more.
Shoot. The best GameStop, and we've all been there. that one on Herald Square, right, Manny? That Herald Square, that two floor one, a beautiful store.
That was that was the
so cool.
I remember
that's
the day
when that's where they had a big launch.
Yeah, that was their
flagship
store. Yeah.
Yes.
Funny thing is that they still had the old one that was inside of the A&S Plaza / Manhattan Mall.
So weird. It was right across the street. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you couldn't
get what you needed on the, in the flagship store, you could just go across the street and go downstairs one level. And then there was the other GameStop / software, etc. originally.
Oh, man, those were the days buying used games and just seeing that huge wall. I mean, the memories. See, where kids today, they're going to lose out on all of it. They lost Blockbuster. Now they're going to lose it. We're going to lose movie theaters soon.
So, interestingly enough, and this is slightly related but not related. So, meanwhile, GameStop is closing stores. Barnes & Noble's opening stores.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that, man, because I was watching a video about it. Basically, it's because they're giving you like a true store experience. You know, and each store is actually catered differently than another. So if you go to one Barnes & Noble now, it's actually different than the others. It's not just like a stock thing. You know, yeah. Interesting what they've done. You know,
do they sell? Because I've been to one. It's been a while, but there was a section that was like selling toys and things in Barnes and Noble.
They have like a toy section. They have they still sell like movies, like Criterion films. You can get like a really, and they always seem to have like sales for them, so you can get them for a decent price. So it's good stuff. So it's like. They've taken the opposite approach to GameStop, where essentially, yes, they did close a bunch of stores during the pandemic, but they were filed for bankruptcy, but they were able to pull themselves out of it, and now they're opening more stores.
Yeah, no, they really did a big comeback on that. It's like, again, it's like, if you want people to come to stores, make it a worthwhile experience, you know? And they're also, you know, even though I don't approve of this, they're also really catering to the whole book talk crowd. So they're putting those books right in front so people see them, you know. Good on them. But GameStop, you know, they don't have that kind of.
What was it? There was.
They used to be owned by Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Babbage's.
Interesting.
When I worked there, it was at GameStop, it was Babbage's. And I remember getting my check and I called you Babbage. That's right. Babbage. And it was Barnes & Noble's. I was like, holy, I didn't even know that. I'm like, they own this? It was like, yeah, they own it. It's like, oh, okay. But there was a Barnes & Noble's up on the Upper West Side around the 70s section. Not too far from where our Uncle Danny lives. But this one was interesting because on the first floor, if you go to the back, they had like chairs and stuff. So you could sit there, lounge, read a book. Don't even have to buy it. Like it was a library. And I was like, damn, what is this? But I guess that's another way of pulling people in, you know, read a chapter or two, maybe then they'll buy it. You know,
they'll put a like a Starbucks or something in there to keep, and they'll come around and read and all that sort of stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm reading this out. So yeah, they also have like, you know, community nights and stuff. People get together. Like, that's cool, you know?
Good.
Yeah. Anyway, GameStop, you know, whatever. All right. Next story here. Nintendo Switch 2 did not do so well during the holidays.
Oh.
It was like sales were down 35% compared to the original Switch during the same time. And I can't say I'm surprised. It's like, there's no major, like, game. Like, yeah, like Donkey Kong is cool, but it came out like months ago, and everybody's mad about Metroid. And
what happened to Metroid?
People didn't like it. You know, they didn't like the talky NPC character I was always with.
Carlos bought it, right? Carlos, you like that game?
No, I haven't bought it, or and I haven't played it. Nope, unfortunately.
Damn, that's not.
Yeah, no, that game's not doing very. People are very mad about at it.
Yeah, the reason
there's no Mario still, right? There's still no Mario game.
Mario Kart.
Well, that Mario Kart. Yeah. That's a kart racer.
But that's the only Mario they got.
I mean, what happened to Odyssey 2? What happened?
That's not out.
I know, but there you go. Epic failed. That's it. That's what they needed. Something like that. They needed a Zelda, right? Because wasn't that the big selling point last time? It was like, oh, we got the one.
Or the original Switch,
Wii.
Yeah.
It's like, you didn't buy it on the Wii, but we got it now for your handheld one.
But that's one of the biggest reasons why the Switch 1 blew up. Mm-hmm. Breath of the Wild was a huge hit. Like, mega hit. Mario Kart, you know, it's a fine game, but, you know, people still play the old one. The best game they release is Donkey Kong, but Donkey Kong only goes so far, you know, when it comes to, you know, mainstream success and zeitgeist stuff. You know, we'll see whenever the next Mario, Pokemon, and I think they did release a Pokemon game, but I don't even know them anymore. They have like different variations of it.
Going to your point about zeitgeist games, like, even if this Metroid game was everything fans wanted, it still wouldn't be blowing up like that. Metroid has never been that kind of franchise, you know, compared to like Mario and Zelda, not even close.
Yeah.
Epic fail.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild. You know,
there's still nothing selling for it. Like I said, my kid wasn't interested.
There's nothing for it.
There's nothing for it. You know, and he's got a bunch of friends that they come over with their Switch, but they come in with their OG Switch and they just play Fortnite on it. And unless it can do something wow, I'm like, oh, I got to get it. They don't care.
Yeah. Let me read this part real quick. The game business reports that U.S. Switch 2 sales over the holiday period were down 35% versus the Switch 1 sales performance back in 2017. In the U.K., a similar comparison saw Switch 2 lagging Switch 1 by 16%. Even in Nintendo's homeland of Japan, Switch 2's holiday sales couldn't match Switch 1 and were down by 5.5% over the year's final 9 weeks. So all over the world, man.
Did the price go up in Japan?
I don't know.
Because we got hit with that price up. I don't know if they got it. Because
they had a discounted price. Remember, Japanese Switches were much cheaper than
that's what I figured. I was like, damn. So they should be selling like hotcakes.
Are those happy. Those region-locked ones?
Yes.
Yes, that's the region-locked ones.
That's how they were able to keep the cost down. By the way, in France, same deal. They're over 30% down compared to Switch 1.
So, yeah,
but again, there's no games.
Those figures, I mean, the 5.5% less isn't really that concerning considering the circumstances. But the 31 is definitely pretty bad.
35.
Yeah, that's no bueno.
Yeah. That's the third right there, man. So we'll see what happens. Like what the fuck does Nintendo even have coming out this year? We don't know.
They haven't put out a direct or whatever the hell they put out.
Let me look that up real quick. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, they need to make a punch out. I'd play another punch out. I don't understand that. It's like bring little Mac. They'll do
arms too.
Arms too. How about this? Make punch out, but make a side scroll. Make a beat 'em up version with punch out. He's like going through the hood and stuff. Like
get Mike Tyson to do it.
He's fighting.
Put Logan Paul on it.
Money. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, he does.
He could always use some money, right?
So instead of getting punched out in real life by someone 30 years younger, you know, do it in a video game.
So I'm reading this list of upcoming games for Nintendo, mm-hmm. and I was concerned because a lot of these are like ports, and then I'm like, what website is reporting this? Nintendo.com. Wow. Okay, so let's go through them. So coming in January is Animal Crossing New Horizons, Switch 2 Edition. So I think that's a remake.
Or they just add some more stuff. They add a sprinkle of new stuff for the new one.
Yeah. January 22nd, we got Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade. February 5th, we got Dragon Quest VII. Remember, I'm reading this off of Nintendo.com.
Yeah.
They're not promoting their own games. They're promoting third-party shit.
Which probably won't run well, because wasn't that the other issue? A lot of these third-party games aren't running well on it.
Yeah, here we go. Here's a Nintendo game. Mario Tennis Fever, February 12th. Yakuza Kiwami 3, on February 12th. Resident Evil Requiem, February 27th. Pokemon Pokepia, March 5th. Monster Hunter Stories, March 13th. 007 First Light. I didn't know that was coming in Switch. Okay. March 27th. So they got games, but none of this stuff that I'm looking at is like big. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't scream, oh, Nintendo need to have it.
Other than the 007, but yeah, like.
But that's not a Nintendo game.
That's not another
stuff. Yeah, Fire Emblem, like, okay. Dust Bloods. I don't even care about that anymore.
Big fucking
if it's like
deal.
Night Rain, I'm good, you know? They're bringing the fucking Indiana Jones game to Nintendo Switch.
That's impossible.
Oh, it's going to light that thing on fire.
No.
Listed. This is Nintendo.com.
It's going to be an 8-bit version, side scroller. There's no way. No, there is no way. I swear. Nope. I can't.
What's the name of that fucking Atari game? Was it Pitfall or something?
Yeah, like, it's gonna look like that. they're gonna pull an Atari 2600 box art. You know, they're gonna show you something, and it's gonna be the total opposite when you boot
That's
it up.
It.
Gotcha. No way.
Yo, this is the hottest box art ever, though.
No, think about it. You've all the, you know, over Tom's got all the that game is hard to run on any of those portable PCs. That really pushes them, and it's gonna run on the Switch too, which is inferior to all the other ones, the Legion and all. No. I'm sorry, that's not happening. Unless they super optimize it and do something special just to make it run on
it's
there.
It's gonna have to be streaming or something. That's the only way.
It's got to be the cloud. It's got to be the cloud.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
There's no way. No way.
All right. And the last story here for the night. And for the year, we're back. Manny, this one's for you, man. There's a Hideo Kojima-themed Asus laptop.
Yeah, I saw. I put that on there when I saw it on there. It's the casing and all that stuff. It looks like a prop from Death Stranding. Like it comes with a case and all kinds of stuff. But I didn't look too deep into it and to see what because it's obviously a tablet PC. But what does it use? It can you use a pen on it? Like, what's the deal of that with that thing? I don't know much about it. I saw the RAM on that. I'm like,
I'm at because I actually Okay, here we go. Because I went to this Asus event last month, and obviously I can talk about it, you know. But I did take pictures of the thing. So there it is. So this thing's already been released. It's a tablet. I think it's a tablet that, you know, you can use as a PC.
Well, lift it up a little bit.
You see it?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. There we go. Perfect.
See it?
Oh, yes.
So the actual machine is not new. It was released last year.
It's just a skin. It's just got a Death Stranding skin on
it.
Yes,
a skin, right? Yeah. But it's cool because it has like the case and everything. Like, look at that. It looks like something straight out of the game, you know?
It looks like one of the cases that Sam has when in the game.
Yeah. But it's very random, though. And look, even the headset has Kojima shit in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about this. They wrote him a check. He said, okay.
I mean, as I remember, at least I didn't look deeply into it, but I think it comes with like a whole set of stuff. It has the PC, it's got the headset, it's got the carrying case, and then it's got this placemat thing.
That's the back of it.
Yeah. And then it's got one of those, the keyboard seems a bit flimsy, but you know.
Yeah. Well, here's the side of it.
Yeah, they definitely made it look like a prop from the Death Stranding game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Somebody will buy it.
Somebody will, yeah. So it's basically it's a ROG Flow Z13. That product already exists, but this is just a Kojima themed version, or excuse me, a Death Stranding version.
I think it's Kojima, not Death Stranding.
Isn't it?
Because it's got the Luden thing on it. I think it's just Kojima. I don't think it's Death Stranding.
Yeah, you might be right.
It's the same aesthetic.
I'm just seeing the Shikawa art, so I'm like, okay, this stuff's stranded.
Yeah. Is it available everywhere, or is it just like a Japan type of thing? Like,
no, it's available everywhere, or it will be. I don't know when it's going to be released.
Have they said the price of that thing? It's a limited edition, though.
Of course. You can't make too many of those things. Nobody's going to buy it. It's a small group.
So, yeah, some quick specs. Has a 13.4-inch, 180 hertz, 2.5K HDR display. Touch display, obviously. It's running on a – what happened, Manny?
No, I just said, yeah.
Yeah. I was running on the AMZ Ryzen AI Max Plus 395 CPU, integrated graphics, obviously. 70-watt battery, supports Wi-Fi 7. Armory crate, obviously. Complete with a unique Kojima Productions theme. That's fun. So Armory crate is basically the launcher, you know, and the app where you can adjust stuff.
That's the same that's on the Legion, right? But isn't that the armor crate? Isn't that what the...
It's on there. Yeah, it's the same kind of deal. Yeah. Let me read just the twist. It's its design, which was created in collaboration with Hideo Kojima and Yoji Shinkawa, Kojima Productions lead designer. In addition to having a chassis that incorporates carbon fiber and tons of distinct brand detailing, the Flow Z13 keyboard also has an unusual shape with corners that jut out. It looks like something out of a sci-fi movie or, you know, a Hideo Kojima game. This is true. Fun stuff. Manny, how many are you buying?
None. None. I just got through buying a damn PC, a new PC, so.
On my PC?
On my PC?
I'm poor folk. That's money I shouldn't have spent, but they forced me. They tasked me.
Those bastards. Yeah. Were there any gaming stories that happened during the holidays that I didn't get to list here? So I only looked at, you know, whatever happened the last week.
I mean, other than the head of Sega dying, the creator.
Yeah, you want to talk
Sega
about that
dying.
Real quick?
So, yeah. So the head, I can't remember his name. I'm very bad at that.
I'll look it up.
The creator of Sega, the legitimate, the guy who essentially, which is a American, by the way, that's the one thing that people don't forget about it. An American actually created Sega, and it was originally like a company that he had created in, you know, he fought in the war, and he came back and then, you know, to Japan, and he opened up this company. Originally, I think it was for photo supplies and stuff like that, and then he sort of pivoted toward like arcade machines. And then he merged with another company that used to do like arcade machines and stuff like that. And then that's where the name comes. It's like, it was called like Service Engineering or something like that. And that's what the Se and Ga come from. So it's, that guy is like the legitimate, like the original creator of Sega. I don't know how long he had been involved with studio or if he stayed all the way through, but it's a big deal because that guy is just like, Sega would not exist if it wasn't for that dude.
They didn't bring him up in Console Wars, that's for sure, right? It was always Japanese.
He was already done by then.
He was already sort of done by then. He probably sold the company, or he essentially did something else. But yeah, you know, a lot again. When people think of like obviously one of the most Japanese companies, but literally an American guy created it because he saw that there was as I remember, it was because he. There's also a really good interview with him about the creation of Sega that's floating around.
Was that before Atari?
It was during the Korean War or something like that.
Sega was not a video game company at this point.
It wasn't a video game company. Yeah. They were arcades, and those shooting machines. They were like doing those things, like little old school arcade machines. There was no video games per se at that point. So they were like doing like jukeboxes and like, you know, those sorts of things, like, you know, things you'd find at like an amusement park back in the day. And then eventually, because they were in that business of doing arcade stuff, then eventually they worked their way into video games.
Atari still win. Because they always say, oh, the first big American video game company is Atari. It was Atari. Chuck E. Cheese.
Sega was not an American company.
Yes. Yeah, Sega was not an American company, but it was created by an American.
So yeah, his name is David Rosen, by the way.
David Rosen, there you go. Such a simple name.
Yeah, right?
But yeah.
So I'll read this quick part. This is from The Guardian. As a U.S. Air Force pilot during the Korean War, Rosen found himself stationed in Japan, and once the conflict was over, he stayed on, intrigued by the country and seeing possibilities in recovering its economy. In 1954, he set up Rosen Enterprises, and noticing that Japanese civilians now required an increased number of new ID cards, he started importing photo booths from the U.S. to answer demand. From here, he expanded to pinball tables and other coin-operated machines, importing them from installations in shops, restaurants, and cinema. In 1965, he merged the company with another importer, Nihon Goraku Busan, where coin-op business service games was short. Okay, so let me read this. He merged with them, whose coin service games was shortened to Sega. So service games, Sega, basically.
Yeah.
That's cool. It says for the next 15 years, Sega innovated in the arcade sector, switching from importing games to designing its own and moving on from jukeboxes and pinball tables to electromechanical arcade games such as the submarine shooting sim Periscope, and in 1972, Killer Shark, a shark hunting game which would briefly feature in Jaws. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that game.
Sega also began to set up its own arcades, allowing the company to close control over every facet of its business. So, yeah, so basically he was running Sega, or part of Sega, from 1965 up till 1996. So my man was there for a minute.
Yeah, he was there during the big boom.
Oh, he's definitely there for the Sonic and all that.
Oh, yeah. He was there for that.
Sega. And those arcades still exist. We don't have them outside of Japan, but they're there.
Yeah,
we see it in the Yakuza all the time.
They closed a couple of those, the big one in Japan fairly recently.
The big Sega store.
The one that's in the Yakuza games?
Yep.
Well, I mean, you also remember Yakuza takes place like in the 80s and the 90s, so of course it's going to be there. But
yeah. No, I know that, but it's like I just figured it's like a mainstay. But then again, I thought Toys R Us with a Ferris wheel in Times Square would be there forever, and that shit is gone.
Yeah.
So,
shout out to Dave Rosen. Thank you for saying that. You know?
Yeah.
RIP. Pour one out.
Yeah. But again, not really much gaming stuff that I saw. But then I just kind of stayed away from it during the holidays. I'm like, I'm not dealing with this shit.
I hope his family still gets a percentage or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure this guy.
I'm not sure what the deal was, or he essentially still owns stock in the company or something like that. I don't know.
Something. Because, if he was there when it was booming.
Yeah, he left at a very big time for Sega, too.
Well, he was probably already pretty, because remember, he was probably already pretty old by then.
But if he's just passed away now, what, the dude was like 200?
He was 95.
Like 90, jeez. He's almost as old as me.
Almost,
I'm telling you. But shoot, that's a full life. That's an entrepreneur right there. To go to another country and to pull that off, tip the hat. That's not easy. It's not easy to do it here. You know what I mean? To do it in the country.
Especially not now.
Yeah, especially not now. And to do it over there as an outside American after the war and stuff, come on now. That's
I think that was that was also the big in, because it's like he was because Japan was in the state it was after the, you know, the after World War II and, you know, around that time, the Korean War, they were looking for something. You know, looking for something to build.
To work with an American. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's like, you would think it's like, you're the blame for all this. You know what I mean?
I remember America was locked, you know, they had Japan locked down at that point, you know?
The states were very much involved with the development of Japan in those days. So, yeah. So, yeah, just to be able to, and now, especially when you look at the state of Japan, where like you have to have, in order to even try to open a business, you need to have a certain amount of, like, you know, years that you have been in Japan. Lights, you have to have subs, like business, yeah, like up. Business. What do they call it? Business Japanese, where in other words, you have to be able to speak, you know, perfect Japanese and all there. There's all this sort of this stuff in the way to even get in the way of trying to open a business over there.
Yeah, but yeah, no one ever talks about that. Unless you know, but if you don't, it's so crazy. Yeah.
But again, different situation, because back then it's like America and Japan.
Yeah, they were just looking for, again, they were just looking for something out there. And
he died, was he still living there, or was he back in the States in 95?
I don't know. I don't know if he may have moved back before that. I'm not sure.
Usually it tells you where they pass away, when, you know, like in Los Angeles. Yeah, no,
this article is just like a, you know, a history of what
his history.
Yeah. Not that he died, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously it says he died, but like it was really about, here's why he's important. Let me see, maybe at the end.
I'm just wondering,
no, it's just because about interesting and his contributions.
He just stayed out there, lived his life. Did he get married? Did they say anything? No, right?
No, it's not really about that. It's just about
it's
history with Sega.
Well, that's good. He got to live through it. I got to see Sonic on the big screen in the movie theaters. Hopefully he saw that.
Like, I'm pretty sure there are probably articles that tell you all that stuff, but, you know, I don't know if that really matters.
It doesn't.
Oh, he lived in Hollywood. Los Angeles.
Oh, he had a Japanese wife, family. Of course.
Of course. He was out there for so long. I would think it makes sense. You know, local cuisine.
That's it.
You know, I'm just kidding.
Some of that sushi, son.
Yeah, he was. There you go. He was living there forever. Only makes sense.
Raw fish.
Yeah, no need to import. Going local.
Going local. Raise. You know what is it, like farm free or whatever? Free range.
Oh man.
All right, let's start wrapping up before we get fucking banned on YouTube.
Wow.
Adam, man, what's going on with the TV terminal, son?
Oh, my Lord. It's a lot. And then some stuff, I'll tell you guys off air, but it was some drama. But anyway, but yeah, no, a lot of stuff we just posted a few days late because, you know, we were dealing with traveling and stuff. But Fallout.
And you dying.
Episode, me dying. Yeah, that was a whole other thing. Fallout Season 2, Episode 4, Demon in the Snow. That's going up in the morning. So you can check that out on the Coalition or also on the YouTube channel. Yeah, so we got that. We'll have another episode of Spartacus, and then Landman episode 9 will be on Sunday, and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, if you're into TV shows, the TV terminal, and you can comment and bitch about your favorite show with a bunch of other people. Now we got like regulars complaining about all kinds of shows out there. That's always cool. And yeah, that's what's going on, man. So we're still up.
Right, man. You got anything coming up for this year?
Yes, in February is the TMNT Battle Nexus number 5 with the cover by Kari Randolph and myself, OG TMNT 2003, with the artist and director of the Ninja Turtles of 2012. So it's a really cool crossover cover that we had put together. So the issue 5 is going to be the cover C is going to be the one that we did. Funny thing about that is that I did that a long time ago. I actually did it maybe mid-year last year. So that's the way comics work. Sometimes you'll do things like, you know, especially when it comes to trying to sell these things in the previews magazines or any of those things, you always have it like done, you know, in advance to get people excited. So yeah, the series is out right now. So I think we're on issue 4. So next issue is 5. So that's February. So yeah, that's what's coming up now. And of course, as always, I have other things out there. So yeah.
Good stuff. All right. So yes, like I said, we are back for another full year of Throwdown. We will not be stopping this train until the year is over, basically, like always. So yeah, next week we'll return to throw down your questions. So start getting your video game questions in now. And yeah, man, just gonna keep it rolling like we always do, you know, so it'll be good stuff. So let's wrap it up here, live from Vegas. Make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube, join the Discord, and check us out on your favorite podcast app. And start everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Is that Salvador Ganachi?
Adam Vail.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Later, people.
All right, guys, we're back on Sunday. Peace.
Deuces.